लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। बिहाइंड द सीन्स, oh yes, exclusive insights, absolutely, eccentric characters, you bet. So pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals, and now let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today with an actor, it was kind of hard to get it. I think 5 months. It took me 5 months to finally got him, but I think he's worth it. So I'm very happy to have him. And I say hello to Max Schustermann. Welcome to my podcast.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
5 months. What the hell?
I know. My schedule is like the most sporadic thing known. Like I usually figure out about jobs that I have, whether it's verticals or modeling, like a couple days before they start shooting or I start filming.
I think it's a typical problem in your
It's hard to plan anything, yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, the good part is there are always some colleagues who jumped in very shortly. So it was okay. But I thought, okay, now it's a new year, a new try. Let's see how you will. Yeah. But now we are here. I'm very glad. So first question I'm asking mostly all of your colleagues. When did you hit the space and why? How did you get in?
I hit the space about a year and a half ago. That sounds right. About a year and a half ago, and I had no idea what verticals were.
I've only met one person who told me, yeah, I was kind of used to verticals. What? Okay. That's one and only.
Yeah. So I was going through a change in my job that was outside of acting and everything like that. And I was kind of in this in-between phase of, am I able to do enough acting and modeling to make a career out of it? Or do I need some sort of other job, whether it's waiting tables or whatever it was. And I was kind of in this in-between time where I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen or if I was going to be able to do that. And I got an audition for a vertical and I read it and I was like, what is this? Like,
what was this vertical about? Was it directly a werewolf one or kind of
one? This one is on an app that not a lot of people have heard of, and I haven't even watched in very long. I watched it right when it came out and was like, okay, great, I've seen it. But it's on iReal, so it's another app that's separate. Yeah, I'm not even sure if they're still posting new stuff, but it is still up and it is still on iReal. And I auditioned for it. I got the call back, did the call back. I was very skeptical the whole time. I was like, is this real? Like what? I had to like look up what verticals were and all of this different stuff. And then I got the offer and I was like, you know, this could be a good time to see if this is something that could help me continue to just act and model and pursue my passion rather than having to work another job. And so I accepted the offer.
What was your first role?
I want to say co-lead, but not really co-lead. I was the other romantic interest. So there was the main female lead, the main male lead, and then I was the other male lead
CEO, billionaire.
Exactly. Okay. Nah. Yep. So it was two billionaires fighting it out.
The fully loaded trope in your first. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. And no, but I got on set the first day and I fell in love with. I mean, it was just so much fun. It was crazy. It was chaotic. It was nothing that I expected, but it was so much fun. And everyone was in such good spirits, and everyone was so helpful and friendly. And a lot of the people on that specific cast and crew had never been in a vertical before, had never done a vertical before. I think actually the only person on that cast and crew that had done a vertical before was the lead, Hunter. And
Cole or what?
yeah, Hunter Cole. And so he kind of, I don't want to say took the reins from like the director and the producer, but he was kind of able to like push us in the right direction
To
because
lead, be the
he was the lead and the leader.
leader.
He knew. He had done at least three or four at this point, and he knew exactly what he was doing. He was already a pro. And so it was great having him there because people could really lean on him for advice, and he was a good guide to get us through those 10 days of filming. But
10 days, that's a long time.
I think it was 10 days. I think we might have had one day off, but it was a very long time.
For
Yeah, it was
vertical, that's
typically tip exactly. Vertical, I'd
luxury.
say 10 days is kind of like the max. Usually they try to keep it to like 7, maybe
Yeah,
8 or 9.
exactly.
But yeah, this was 10 days with I think one day off in the middle. And it was a roller coaster. I mean, nobody, like I said, nobody except for Hunter had been in a vertical before. So we're still, everyone's figuring out, we're doing it, just kind of like as it goes, we're kind of figuring it out. At one point, I remember this is a hilarious story. At one point, we were filming, I think this was the first or second day, but it was later in the day. And we had the cameraman. Typically, there's like three cameras on vertical sets. And we only had, I believe, one, maybe two, but I think it was just one cameraman for this production. And he was filming horizontally. And he had two pieces of paper on his monitor to kind of show like where the vertical like space was. And we were kind of, I didn't even think one thing about it, but Hunter comes over to me and he's like, "You ever notice how they've been shooting everything horizontally?" And I was like, "Yeah, like that's how we always film." And he's like, "Yeah, but this is for a vertical. Like, don't you think that they should be shooting vertically?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, that kind of makes sense." And he's like, "I don't want to overstep here, but I think I need to tell them that what they're doing is wrong." And so he finally went over and he's like, "You could just turn the camera sideways and you don't have to show where the vertical space is going to fit." And so that was just one example of kind of like how
Yeah, so
crazy
Hunter was
everything was.
really the
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that project would have gotten done without him.
So, what were your thoughts after the first one? I
After my
mean,
first,
10
yeah.
days and shortened pace and a lot of do it now, next, take, plot,
Yes,
next.
right.
So, what were your thoughts about that?
So that I will say that took some getting used to. That like kind of okay, we're gonna do one or two takes, we got it, okay, we're moving on. Because a lot of the times as an actor, you wanna be like, "Well, no, wait, like let me try. I kind of want to try this. Like, I wasn't really
Yeah.
feeling it on that." And it's like, no, once they know that they've got what they want, we're moving on. We don't have time. We gotta keep going. But I kind of liked it. I kind of liked how fast you didn't have time to think about what you just did. You just had to do it and move on.
Yeah.
And I found a little bit of peace in that because a lot of the times as an actor, you can overanalyze everything that you're doing, and sometimes you just need to feel it, do it, and move on.
Live the
So,
moment.
yeah, after that, I was like, "Well, these are great. I don't know if I'll ever do one of them again." I still wasn't like fully sure how popular verticals were or how legit they were going to be, or I still hadn't done my full research. So, I finished that one and I was like, "Well, if I do another one, great. If not, was meant to be." And then I think about a month or two late, I think it was 2 months later, I booked another one. And I had been auditioning for a ton. I thought, "All right, I did one. They clearly don't like me because I've been auditioning for 2 months. Like, fine, fair enough. And then, of course, right as I'm kind of ready to throw in the towel, I booked another one. And that was another long one. It was called Lion's Dawn. I believe it was 8 or 9 days. They put most of the crew up, cast and crew up in hotels. It was a really cool experience. We shot in Princeton, New Jersey,
Oh.
on campus and kind of in another mansion-looking house close to campus. And that on that one, that's when I kind of started realizing, oh, these are a big deal. Like these are no joke. A lot of people really enjoy these, and a lot of really great actors are working on these. So on that one, the lead again was Hunter. So it was great to see him again. I was like, this guy, I can count on this guy. The other lead was Molly Anderson.
Oh, she's so lovely.
She's great. We had Connor, I don't
Was
want
she a
to butcher
good
his.
one or a bad one in this
She was the
vertical?
good, she was a good one in
Because
this one,
I
yeah.
really admire her for being such a great villain, but also such a lovely. So
It's really a
fantastic.
talent to kind of have that dynamic to be able to play such a good character and then
Yeah.
also have that power to be an evil, like scary character
And
that
she
people
can
are
be
kind of timid
really
by.
evil.
Yeah.
Shout out to Molly. Love you.
But yeah, so we had Hunter and Molly Anderson and Connor. I don't want to butcher his last name, Tuhi or Tahui. I can't remember.
Yeah. I
That,
don't know how to pronounce the second name, but I know who you
as
mean.
well as some other supporting characters that had been in a ton. So I was kind of like, whoa. And this production was definitely a step up from the first production I did. Everyone who was on this, at least from the crew's perspective, had done quite a few verticals before.
Okay.
The budget was a little larger. They were bringing in fancy cars. The shots were a little tighter. So I was like, wow, this is. There's some real cinematography and effort and some real, there's something here that I didn't really notice on the first project that I was on. I knew I liked what I was doing and I was having a great time, but it wasn't until that second project where I was like, oh, okay, this is very legit. And so after that, it kind of snowballed for a little bit. I kind of got pigeonholed, not pigeonholed, typecasted
Yeah.
into the executive's assistant, which I loved playing. He kind of the character that helps move along the
But
plot.
mostly
A
the
lot
good
of
one, not the bad guy.
exactly the good
Yeah, then
guy
it's
that,
fine.
yep, exactly. He's explaining a lot of what's going on, and yeah, I loved doing them, and so I was the executive assistant for a while, did a bunch of those, and then things kind of started slowing down. I think for a while, like they just wanted to turn out as many verticals as possible
Yeah.
because they were so successful and
I
that
know.
brings in
Ask the
money.
audience how many shows we probably can watch new shows every week because of
Yeah.
this whole bunch of platforms at the moment.
Yeah, it's it. I think for a little bit it got a little over diluted. I
It's
think there was
still going
still is a little bit.
because now the new year has started. And I already saw four new platforms again. And we
Yes.
have more than 200 at the moment.
Yeah, that is so
So
many.
I don't need more platforms.
No.
And I saw advertising and thought, oh, that vertical looks nice. And I saw the button and thought, huh? I don't know this. And I asked my review ladies in the chat group, ladies, new one. Yeah, it's a new one. Is it worth to watch? No, it's so expensive. The membership. Leave. Okay. Every
Yeah.
time. I think four new platforms I saw recently.
That's wild. I think that I, at least in my opinion, I think that it's slowly, I think that's slowly starting. I want to say it's starting to subside a bit because I think that at least the platforms that have been around, Good Short, Real Short, Drama Box,
Yeah, the
those
big
kind of
ones,
big
yeah.
platforms, I think they're really starting to focus more on quality over quantity, which
Not
sometimes,
all of them. Real short, let's in my podcast I always speak open honest, also when I'm doing a monthly recap. Real short produced lately a lot of shit. Really. You have five, six new shows per week, and let's say four of them with the exact same storylines, only different casts, and storylines that we had the last 11 months. So
A lot of repeated storylines for sure.
yeah, so shit. And you know, we were all hoping that some great Christmas verticals will drop. There were a lot of so-called Christmas verticals lately, last year, but it was the first year where, let's say, 80, 85% of these so-called Christmas verticals were typical classical vertical story tropes, and it was called a Christmas vertical because a Christmas tree was standing in the back side. Or Mark Pontarelli told me when I did the recording with him, he technically did a Christmas vertical, and when I asked what was technically, and he said, yeah, the only thing in this vertical was that the child is saying and Merry Christmas at the end. So
The repeated storylines
Oh,
need
so
to,
disgusting.
yeah. The I
So
mean the
disgusting.
ballroom scene. Yeah, we've all seen them. We've all
We don't
had
want to
enough
have
of
banquet
them.
scenes. We don't need that anymore. To be
Nah.
honest, there are three platforms with really great, always great storylines, great quality. That's Drama Pops, Viglo, and Candy Jar. And let's say the iDramas and Flick Reel stories are also not so bad. Okay, Drama Box recently dropped better content. But in my opinion, some of the big platforms think, yeah, the audience, they are ours. It doesn't matter what we are doing, they are ours. And that's not good for the new stuff. You know, did you do a sports vertical?
It wasn't entirely around sports, but I did a vertical where I was a high school football star.
Was it the BFF whatever storyline?
No, so I was a basketball player in Bitchy BFF. That didn't really have much basketball at all, but
Okay.
then I was a football player in what is the name of that one? Oh, My Three Ungrateful Brothers, It's Your Time to Pay.
Great title.
That one's on Real Short, and it's actually pretty good. I mean, there's it's really it's about
Who
an
was in
empowered
it? I'm
female.
not sure if I saw this one.
Oh, it's me, so the three ungrateful brothers, let me pull this up so I don't get it wrong.
Yeah. Who are the ungrateful brothers?
So that one was, so we had Kenny as one of the main brothers. He's great. Kenny Sale. I don't think he does a lot of verticals, but I
Kenny.
believe he just went to China and filmed at least one. So keep an eye out for him. He's a great, great actor. And then the lead in that one was Kayla Brady, who did an amazing job.
Okay. That's good. You know, sometimes, as I said, it's totally ridiculous when the total same storylines, exactly the same ones, only a different cast drops at the same time on different platforms. That happened lately so often.
I've noticed that a lot too. It seems like every platform kind of like gets a hint of like what's popular or what the fans are kind of looking for, or like a
Yeah.
genre, and then they all kind of do it at the same time.
And they don't even change the character's name. It's exactly one to one, exactly the same story.
I have done at least one vertical where the script was almost identical, like so close to identical, and it's just people have seen it, you know, the fans,
And
the
when they
viewers,
are
they're not
always
stupid.
saying, but there are a lot of new audience who wants to watch that. They can watch the old ones. Come
Yeah,
on, you don't have to
exactly.
produce it always new. That's why I like, for example, Candy Jar, Drama Pops, all the stories on Candy Jar are book based. It's a great
Oh, that's
story every
awesome.
it's a great story every time. And that's
Yeah.
always a reason why Candy Jar produces so many verticals with more than one part, because there are two, three books out of it, and they are doing for every book a part of it.
So Candy Jar does like sequels to
A
their
lot, a
that is
lot.
awesome, 'cause that's something that I haven't seen before that I always am kind of like, but we
You
could
have
do
to
something
what you have to go to
after.
Candy Jar, because Candy Jar
I'm gonna have
has
to
a
check
lot
Candy
of
Jar out.
shows with part one, part two, sometimes even part three and part four.
All right.
And
Okay, I'm giving
that's,
Candy Jar a look.
yeah, I'm a bit advertising for the German. No, I love that. That's a book-based story and serial ones. And for the audience, yearly membership on Candy Jar is in euros, 70 euros. A yearly membership for
For a
Real
year.
Short, yes, a really mem a yearly membership for Real Short is actually 230 euros. So I prefer purchasing a yearly membership on Candy Jar, even they don't publish so many shows, but the quality, what they're publishing, is so good.
And I think that's exactly what verticals kind of need to start leaning towards, is that people want quality over quantity, you know? That there's at this point there's too many shows coming out at one
Come
time.
on, we are talking about more than 200 platform, and even every platform puts one show per week.
At
I
least,
cannot
yeah.
watch 200 shows per week. Sorry, I have to work and I have to do other stuff. So for me, it doesn't matter if we would have only, let's say, 40 platforms with more quality content. Okay, it's for you shit. Then there is less job offers. Okay, I get it. No, but I think, take a look, for example, on Drama Pops. Drama Pops publish mostly the stories which were filmed in Turkey and Lithuania. So great quality every time.
It really does seem like when the productions go abroad, the quality is always really, really good.
And I can tell you what Danny Farber, for example, told me. He directed in Turkey. I asked him, how is it possible that the shows from Turkey are always in such a good quality? And some of the verticals produced in the US, for example, 2 days ago, I turned off a vertical because the post-production ruined the whole show. The sound was so shit.
Yeah, I
I
think
couldn't watch
I've
it
had
till
that
the
happen
end.
before. Yeah, sometimes I feel like that they're biting against deadlines, and when they take on too many projects at one time and they need things to come out on certain dates, it the back
But
end kind
that
of takes the
was a
hit.
show that needed 5 months to get out, and the quality was shit. Yeah, it dropped on Drama Pop, Drama Box. So I expected normally a good quality because I was told from the lead actor, yeah, we shot that 5 months ago. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. Let me know your opinion. And I tuned in the vertical. After the fifth episode, I was, oh, holy moly, I'm not sure if I can watch it till the end because the background sound is so shit. They don't have mics in some scenes.
Oh.
Then you cannot understand what they were saying. And I was so, whoa, very exhausted by watching this, not really entertained because I had to concentrate so much about the subtitles and listening and stuff like that. And then I told him, okay, you always want to hear my open, honest opinion? The post-production ruined it. And he was so, really? And I said, tune in the first episodes, even before you hit the paywall, you can see it. It's totally shit post-produced. And then he said, oh no. And they took 5 months And I said, yeah. And then, for example, let's go back to the Turkish ones. They shot a show which dropped, I think, 6 weeks later in such a great quality. And I also, yeah. You cannot tell me that's not possible because they can do it in this amount of time. So, But Danny Farber told me when I asked him what's different than shooting in Turkey than in the US, he told me that the crew in Turkey is bigger because it's not so expensive to shoot there. They have more crew members, so they have more people to watch after details.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm a proud European. Hopefully there will be shot more verticals here over in Europe.
Yeah. Well, I think that if these, you know, if the verticals, clearly the ones that are being shot in Europe and abroad, and, you know, if they continue to show that they are successful and they are becoming, you know, the video quality and then just the quality of the scripts and everything is higher, then it's just going to keep happening more and more, I think.
And for example, one show in Drama Pops, Felix Mörbeck did it. The Summer I Turned Bad, I don't know exactly. They shot this horizontal and vertical. When you are in the app, you can drop.
Oh my God. So they give you the choice to choose. Ways.
Yes.
That's amazing.
You have to check that out on Drama Pops. Really great.
Yeah.
You can switch if you want to see more of his big shoulders and muscles, or if you want to see it vertically, more of the whole body. Really so great. Cool. I think they did 2 or 3 shows in that way for Drama Pops. That's good.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that.
So you have to come to Europe for shooting.
I'll be on the next flight.
No, I think, to be honest, in 2026 that this European market will grow, because as I told you, here the verticals are not so common in watching. I think there is a big market here in the audience space, and that will, I think, blow up this year.
I agree.
Hopefully that would be I would love to see that, because for example, we Germans, we are so structured and organized, and I'm not sure if a vertical shoot will function here very well, because I think we have a bit problem with this pace and do that and now, no, that's good enough, so now turn on. So I said to this first production company where I saw the casting calls, I said, hopefully you are so intelligent and you will get a vertical actor who already did some verticals, so that you shoot a great quality and we don't have to start with a shit quality and destroy the market even before it had the chance to grow. What was your dream job as a kid? Actor?
No, my dream job as a kid was to be a hockey player. I grew up playing hockey. I grew up in Colorado. My mom put me on skates and took me out to, you know, skate on the pond when I was like 2 or 3 years old. And then by the time I was 5 years old, my friend, whose mom played college hockey, convinced my mom to put us into youth sports and play hockey at the local recreational center, and I just fell in love with it. It really took off.
So a hockey one would be great for you, huh?
Yeah, no, I've auditioned for quite a few of them, but I expect, hopefully I'll do a hockey one soon.
How many broken bones did you had in your child hockey career?
Not too many broken bones. I fractured my collarbone twice. Fractured a tiny little bone in your shoulder called the coracoid process. Fractured a rib once, and then but nothing broken. So broken, yes, fractured, but nothing like really that required like surgery or anything like that. I'm trying to think. I uh Yeah, mostly some just like shoulder issues, like separations and dislocations.
I broke
I got
my
my hand
collarbone
stepped
eight
on.
times.
Sorry?
I broke my collarbone eight times in the
Eight
first 6 years
times?
of my life.
Did you have to get surgery?
I had it already broken when I was born.
Oh, you're doomed from the start.
And a lot of doctors in the hospital knows my parents because I was kind of, let's call it, wild kid. I have, you see here the scar? I have here a
Yes.
scar because I
Yeah.
ran. When I was a bit young, I ran a bit too fast against, let's say it, fence
Yeah.
with a lot of bleeding.
Oh, yeah, I
I have a
can
picture
imagine.
about of that. That would be so great for Halloween, I can tell you, but it was real one. And then I had another one here, and then I, because I was always in a big height, so I'm 5'10 now, so I was already in what, I don't know how you call it, in your, what, we have a elementary school, and then we are going to the gymnasium. What's in your place then? High school?
We have elementary school, and then we have middle school, and then we have high school, and then
Okay, so
college.
when I was 15, I started playing basketball. And because of that, I've broken every finger.
I hate
You can
that.
see that
Oh.
never got back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had a broken shin bone two times with nails and metal in it. And that was
Oh.
so. Every time when I went to the hospital, the doc said, "Ah, what's today?" "Yeah, I think that broke." "Oh, okay. You know what to do?" "Yeah, I know what to do." With my collarbones, my parents got already all the stuff for at home, you know, when you have to do that. Yeah.
Right. Well, based off of your injuries, I would say you're the hockey player.
No. I had just,
Just a
let's
crazy
say,
kid.
a rough childhood.
Sounds like it.
It was, yeah. No, that's why I'm always asking, because I know a good friend of mine played soccer. Every time he was healed 2 weeks later, next. It was so
Yeah.
crazy.
Sports, I mean, I was lucky to kind of avoid a lot of injuries, but no, nah, just yeah, just a few fractures. I chipped some teeth, but
Yeah, that's a
other than that,
typical hockey
yeah.
thing, I think. Teeth back.
Yeah, I had a pretty
So,
funny looking smile.
after the hockey, after the hockey player dream, was it then directly acting, or
Yep,
what
so
was
I
plan
went
B?
to plan. Well, so I hockey was always plan A growing up. That was kind of my dream to be a professional hockey player. I always kind of knew, playing professional sports is pretty hard to do, a little bit of a
Yeah.
stretch. And then I went to the University of Delaware, continued playing hockey there. And then it was like after my sophomore season, I had gotten a pretty bad concussion. The coach had been fired, and I was kind of like, this might be a good time to pivot. I'm not quite
Okay.
sure that this is going the way that I want it to go. And so it was at that time that I kind of stepped back from hockey and focused more on what I was studying. I was like, do I really like the major that I'm in? At the time, I was studying broadcast communications. So I was kind of thinking maybe, news anchor or something along those lines. And I found that I was very bad at reading a teleprompter. Probably because I'm dyslexic, but I realized that was a pretty big and important part of the job, is being able to read that
Oh,
teleprompter. And
shit.
so I was like, okay, so maybe I'll be, behind the camera. I don't know. And then it was between my junior and my senior year of college. So right before I was set to graduate, I was kind of like, well, I don't love my major. What's next for me? And I'd always taken a few acting classes. It was always something I enjoyed. Like starting
Okay.
in middle school, I had taken a class here and there. Thought it was really fun, but never really saw it as like a passion or a career. So between my, I was like, you know what? I'll kick myself in the butt if I really don't kind of just give this a try and see if it's something that I really like. So between my junior and senior year, I did three different acting programs. I did a 2-week overnight program at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York. I did their same program in LA for 2 weeks, and then I did a week at Harvard with an acting program that they were doing there. And I fell in love with it. I mean, after each program, I was just kind of like, wow, this is awesome. This is really, and I knew that I was like, I am probably behind the eight ball on this. You know, I haven't, don't really have any formal acting training, but I'm getting the same feeling that I get playing hockey when I'm on set acting. And
Yeah,
that's
kind of
something
that
that
fire inside you.
exactly that fire, that adrenaline, that everything. I was like, there's so many similarities here, and it would be stupid to not try. And so after I finished my senior year, I got my degree because I had already paid for 3 years of college. So
Yep, that makes sense. And I think it was good for your mom and your dad to know, okay, he has this degree.
exactly.
Okay, so he has something to maybe come back when he, if
Exactly,
that guy.
exactly. And so, and then I took the little bit of money that I had saved up and I just went straight to New York. I got a waiter, a serving job right away at a nice restaurant. And then I just started taking classes there at some of like the amazing conservatories that they have in New York, like T. Schreiber, Stella Adler. I found an amazing acting coach, Thomas G. Waits. Where he was my acting teacher for a while, and I found that class was really helpful. And so that year, or about 9 months, that year right after I moved from college to New York City, I was really starting to kind of gain some traction and become an actor, you know, a working actor. I wasn't booking a lot, but I was learning a lot. I was doing a few short film student films, and then I
Did you
got a
also some
Broadway.
theater stuff?
So yeah, I was doing a lot of theater like training, and then I actually got a callback for a Broadway audition. Keep in mind, I have no singing experience at all. I am practically tone deaf. So, but I get this callback for the Book of Mormon, which is such a funny show on Broadway, if you ever get a chance to see it. And they were like, "Great, here's your 4 pages of dialogue. Oh, and by the way, here's two songs that we want you to memorize and
And you
perform for us as well." So it's like, okay, yeah, no, yeah, of course, I know what I'm doing, obviously. So I went straight to my acting teacher and I was like, "Should I even accept this? Like, I do not sing like at all. Like, I even in the shower, dude, I don't even want people hearing me."
But wasn't
And
that
so.
clear? Broadway shows were always with singing, no?
So not every Broadway show, but I'd say like 95%. I knew it was singing, but at the time I knew there was singing, but at the time I was just submitting myself to everything. I just wanted to be part of anything that was acting related at all, really. And so I got the audition. I went to my acting coach. I was like, "Should I even do this?" Like, and he set me up with another person who was in my acting class, who was actually a professional opera singer. And he was nice enough to give me acting lessons 3 days in a row right before my audition. So I went and did the audition and I didn't hear back, but I like to say that it was because COVID hit. So the night
Yeah, that's good.
I spent my first 9 months in New York City learning, becoming an actor, got this great audition on Broadway, went, did it, you know. It went as good as I possibly could have expected it to. I didn't miss a beat. You know, I had to keep tempo with the pianist in the room.
Do you
I'm
love
so.
singing since then?
I do love singing. I did find kind of a joy for it. I wouldn't say that I'm a good singer. I
It
really
doesn't
wouldn't,
matter.
but I
It
do enjoy it.
it's the question, do you like it?
I do. Yeah, I do. Mostly, I'm mostly a shower singer. I don't really like singing for other people as much, but
Shower
I
singer
do
and
find.
car drive singer,
Yes,
doing some
exactly.
carpool karaoke.
Yes,
That's the
yes. I
best.
will stand up and do karaoke if I'm invited.
That's so great. Then you have to go to China for a shooting. There is also always karaoke included.
Yeah.
Chinese people love to do karaoke. They have so
many
karaoke bars.
Karaoke bars, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or you have to play SingStar on the PlayStation.
What is that?
SingStar.
SingStar?
SingStar, yeah.
SingStar, okay. Is it like, it's like you sing and...
It's like a karaoke game for...
For like the Xbox or something like that?
I think you are too young for that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you're not in my age. You're a bit younger than me. I don't know when it was so popular, but it was for the PlayStation. You bought the game with two mics.
Okay. Was this around the time where like Rock, like Guitar Hero and those other games were coming out? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there was
I remember
SingStar.
this. Yeah.
There you could sing. This came out when I was studying. Do you know how often I lived with 10 boys, 10 boys and I. We were roommates. Had really much fun. And do you know how often we had karaoke parties at our home? Holy moly, I can tell you. Best part ever. Yeah, that was great. If you love singing, you can do that.
Yeah, I might have to see. I might have to see if I can find it. SingStar.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, New York, when did you decide you move to LA? Right?
I'm still in Colorado visiting my brother and my dad, yes. But I'm still New York based for now.
Ah, I thought you were LA based. Sorry for making that up.
No, it's totally fine. I'd like to be LA based, but I've
shot
been booking
in LA?
No, never shot in LA. I know every vertical I've done has just been in New York City or New Jersey.
Not even Canada, Vancouver?
No, I'm trust
oh,
me.
Oh, you
I
have
would
to
love
work
to
on
get
that,
to
Max.
I
Bucket
know.
list 2026.
Get booked somewhere besides New York.
Exactly. Absolutely.
I agree.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully somewhere warm, because it is freezing in New York right now.
Would you ask me how it's here, actually?
Yeah, how's the weather in Germany?
Snowy. Fucking cold.
Yes.
Minus 12 degrees Celsius, actually.
That is too cold. That is too cold.
I have the feelings that a lot of your actors are sunny boys because, for example, I spoke with Alex Pictin. He said, yeah, I would love to shoot so badly in Europe, but only in summer. I spoke to Michael Vaccaro. He said, no, I moved to LA because I need the sun. Really?
Listen, would I prefer to shoot in warm weather? Sure, but I'm tough. You know, I shoot in New York all the time.
If you want to get an offer, Max, we want to book you for a shooting, for example, in Vancouver right now as a lead, but it's snowy. You would say, oh, no, thank you. I need a few degrees more, please.
I'd get on the next flight. No, the cold has never stopped me from taking a job. We do a lot of stuff. I do a lot of like modeling and commercial stuff in New York. And a lot of the times they'll shoot stuff in the winter or the fall and cheat it for summer. So we'll be in like, you know, like shirts and shorts, the flip flops. And it's like 40, 30 degrees outside. And you're like, yeah, it's warm. I'm having
cool.
a great time. Yeah. Meanwhile, inside you're just freezing miserable.
Okay. So that won't be a reason to decline a role, I see. What would be a reason for you to decline a role? Shit storyline or...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Definitely shit storyline. Anything that kind of would go against any of my, you know, more... If I didn't... I think that a lot of the times these verticals, they can be a little bit... I don't want to say offensive, but they can teeter the line on certain things. That I, no judgment to other actors or anything along
No,
those lines. It's just
not just
something that
for
I
you.
really, just something that I wouldn't do. Typically the verticals that I've been a part of so far that I've been fortunate to be a part of have been very respectable, very, solid plots. I will say that a few of the ones that I have done have kind of been, repeat scripts and ballroom scenes. But aside from that, I've been very fortunate to be in some really amazing verticals
Have
that
you
I
ever
think,
been a real mean guy?
yeah.
Yeah.
The one, the most, not the, is it the most recent one? No, I did a small part in another one. So one of the most recent ones that I did was the bitchy BFF, It's Your Turn to Pay.
Yeah.
And I am a bully. I am
An
a
asshole. Let's call it
just
an
a
asshole.
hair, yes, an asshole. I
Okay.
have very almost, I would say, zero good qualities about myself in
Okay,
this.
so now the next question. Did you like this role?
So part of me liked it. So part of me was like, I can ex I can, I you have so much more room to explore when you're a villain. You can
Yeah,
really
I heard
be
this a lot.
sinister, and you can, there's so much more room and range for you to act in, it's at least in my opinion. But then some of the things you're like, oh no, this is so mean. Like, it's hard to like remember, like, all right, we're just acting here, like it's part of the
So it was also the
storyline.
most challenging role for you so
I
far?
wouldn't say it was chat the okay, so the only challenging part for me was like not judging my character. So while I was the evil guy, I had to remember, like, I can't think that I'm evil. I have to have reasons for doing things. I can't, the
Yeah.
reasons for me doing things can't just be, oh, well, I'm evil. That,
Yeah.
that doesn't really come across on camera. So I don't know. It was fun, but it was, yeah, it was fun. I think I'd rather play, I don't even know. I think that, both the good guy and the villain are pretty equally as fun to play for me.
How
But
did you get in this villain mood? Because I heard from some actors they are having kind of special playlists with kind of music they are listening to get into character. Someone told me, yeah, I'm watching kind of on YouTube videos which were similar to my character to look how they do it. So
yeah.
what puts you in the character mood?
I'm for me, it's like a lot of the mood, or like the what gets me into character, is the preparation that I put in before. So I do a lot of kind of building my own story around characters, because a lot of times you'll get a script and you'll only have what's in that small time frame of when the story takes place. And they'll give you a brief character description of what he looks like and what he's, acts like and stuff like that. But there's so much more to what the character is than just in this small clip that you're that people are seeing. So for me, it's like, if I have this storyline of why I am the way that I am, why I've become evil, or why I have these grudges or this attitude towards other people, then that kind of just helps me click into it right away. So there's not really any, like, kind of like in the moment, like, oh, I'm listening to a song, or I'm thinking about something like right before that makes me angry. It's more just, okay, I know what my life story is as this character, right? As the character that I'm playing, I know what has brought me to right here. And then it's just like, okay, time to turn on. And then,
Is it also easy to turn off when you're done
yes,
with the
yeah,
shooting day and you
yes,
can go home? Can you turn
yes.
off, or
It.
do you have to stay the whole week in the character mood?
No. I'm typically not a method actor, or find that helps me more than just doing the preparation beforehand and making sure
Okay.
that I know what I'm doing. I think that I don't want to say that it's like, oh, I'm the second they say cut, I'm like, boom, I'm max again, like easy as that. But it's usually just kind of like, okay, let's take a few deep breaths. Let's kind of recenter myself. All right, we're back.
So
You
you're
know, kind
not
of.
dreaming about the character at night? No.
I can't control my. I have had dreams of, you know, where I'm like on set, but like I'm in, like I'm the character. I'm dreaming as if I'm the character.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I've heard so many storylines. Someone tells me, okay, for me, when I'm shooting in the weekend, I have a really creepy character. For me, it's really hard to switch it off when I'm going home, or even to find some sleep because I'm thinking about all the stuff I have to do the next day with this main character. And for example, Gabe Armentano told me, you know, I only need somewhere a floor or stuff like that, I can lay down and sleep immediately. Okay. Also fine. So it's very interesting for me to see how the actors are, I don't know, live this character in the whole shooting week and how they proceed with the character. If they're accepting the character for a week to be their life part or not. So, what would be a dream role in a vertical you want to play? What type of
Oof.
character or stuff like that? Besides the
Dream
hockey
role.
player?
Yeah, besides the hockey player, of course. No, well, hockey, yes. I would love to do a hockey vertical.
That would
There's
be great. I
another.
think in Canada, Canada is the hockey nation, isn't it?
Yeah. And well, I feel like there's been a lot of a big kind of surge in hockey recently where people are really kind of paying more attention.
They
There's the
dropped
new hit
also a
show
lot
on.
of hockey verticals.
Yeah, a lot of hockey verticals. There's the new hit show on HBO. I can't remember the name of it right now. About the two gay hockey players. But that one is blown up. So including the verticals and now the mainstream HBO shows.
Okay, so I assume that all this hockey's dropped lately, maybe because of the winter. I don't know.
Yeah, probably something to do that. A skiing or snowboarding vertical would be cool too. But I think
That's
th
hard to
that
film with the mics and stuff, isn't
exactly
it?
that's what I was thinking. And then like permission from some of these mountains, I can assume would probably be kind of
And how would
difficult.
you do the lovey rom-com? You know, in the hockeys, you are always seeing the lady and the guy are sliding side on the ice, you know, and she dripped a bit, and he, yeah, I can hold you. So that's the typical, you know, story plot for a lovey rom-com, but on a snowboard.
It might be a little bit more difficult.
I think so. Yeah, but we had so many tennis ones, football ones, hockey ones. The sport always changed the
Yeah.
storyline.
I think that it would be really cool to do. I'm always really interested in history and especially like military and war history and stuff
So
like
time
that.
plot vertical.
Yeah, exactly. If there was like a historic kind of like World War One or even like older kind of vertical, I think that would be really
A
cool.
night.
There you go. Yes. Well, there's a new Game of Thrones show coming out and stuff
I
like
haven't
that.
seen any of Game of Thrones
I've
yet.
seen some of it, but not all of it. Yeah. I try to pretend like I'm kind of hip and know what people are talking about, but I don't.
Yeah,
I
I
don't.
think or something like Robin Hood. Stuff like that from that
That would be
time
very cool. Yes.
with horse duels and stuff like that. I'm craving for an old Western with the saloon stuff
Yes.
and, you know, so the really old ones with the duels
Yes.
and the
That's so
saloons and a
cool.
sheriff one. There makes the total typical vertical storyline total sense, the
That
raping and
makes so much
kidnapping
sense.
and stuff like that. And you can be
Yeah.
sure, I think that there wouldn't be a banquet scene
No,
because they were not
I hope
discussing
not.
so long in
Maybe a
that time.
saloon scene.
Yeah, but they didn't discuss so long.
No.
Over
Action,
40
you know?
episodes, shoot or got it. That's
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, I think
And
a
I'm
Western would be really cool. They've done some like cowboy ones, I think.
Yeah, and they
But
did
that
some
being like
farm
really like
stuff with
Western. Yeah,
horses,
right.
but not the classic one. You know,
Yeah.
like Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
That would
Yes.
be so
That would be
good.
so cool. Yeah, like a bank robber where the two leads are like kind of villains, but because they're bank robber, but they're really kind of good. Yeah. I think you got something here.
Or like Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yes.
I spoke with Kirby and we developed a million-dollar idea for all the people who want to shoot so badly in Europe. We are doing a criminal series, verticals, six parts, one in Italy, one in Lithuania, one in Turkey, one in Scotland, in Ireland, you know, mystery, blah, blah,
Yeah.
one in Germany and one in France. And the two leads are like Sherlock Holmes and Miss Marple. And in every country, they have to develop a different and solve a different criminal case.
That is so cool. That is a great idea. I love
Yeah, it's all about the money, actually. I need to win the lottery that we can realize it. The cast and I have a director, I have everyone. It's all
Yeah.
about the money. And I'm
Yeah.
sure that that story and that verticals would be totally a hit.
I believe it. I'd watch them.
When everyone can say, oh, I'm so excited what they have to do next. Oh no, I think he will be the murderer. No, he's so lovely. He cannot be the murderer. You know, it's kind of
Yeah.
when they can be excited how the story will go. Stuff like that. I'm craving for the first pirate vertical.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe there hasn't been one.
The trailer was so good.
Which is app is that coming out on?
Not sure yet because they finished producing it actually, and they are now trying to sell it to a platform.
Nice. Nice.
Haven't you seen the trailer of that one?
I don't think so.
I will send
Is
you a
it
link.
where? Yeah, send it to me.
It's shot in Vancouver with Karen
Nice.
Smolinski. Nick Westaway was the lead one.
Oh, great.
I will send you a
Nice.
link. It looks
Please
so
do,
good.
yes.
They had so many BTS on their profile about that. You know, it looks like a really good pirate one with sword fighting. And so
Love
that makes
that.
also sense to rape and robber and no banquet scene on a ship, I think. So,
I don't think you can do one there.
no. Yeah, I think some kind of new genres are needed,
Yeah,
actually.
definitely.
Are you also the type of writer that you
So I
write a
do some
script?
writing. My brother is a phenomenal writer, and we tried to do a little bit of writing together. We have one or two scripts that are somewhat done, probably still need a few more drafts.
Verticals?
No, these are t short films, but I have started kind of poking at them, being like, hey, write us a vertical, put me in. You know what I mean? Because I'd love to shop a script around and kind of be like, hey, I got this great script, but
I
I'm
think that's
attached.
needed, you know. Some of the
Yeah.
stories which work in China don't work in the Western, you know.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see that some of the actors started writing because there were some new storylines and not the classic typical trope
Yeah.
shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hope that there will be more actors writing in this year.
I think that there will be. I mean, there's such an importance to being an actor and being able to write stuff for yourself. It's just, I think people are realizing that, like you said, a lot of these scripts are very repetitive. And I think that people are thinking, well, I've got ideas and I can do this. Like I can
Yeah.
write for these.
I think
So I
I hope
expect a
that.
lot more actors to write this year.
Okay, so I have one big question before I will do the five question quickie with you. What
Okay.
has acting taught you in life? What did acting do with your character, personality, or with Max Schusterman as a person?
Let me think about that. Well, one, I think that it gave me a little bit more of a sense of myself. You know, when you're one thing for so long, when you're a hockey player, you kind of get put into a box of who you are, and people kind of tell you what you are. And then I stopped doing that. And I was kind of like, well, okay, who's Max without hockey? And acting definitely helped me find who that person was. And I don't know, it's just, aside from that, it's taught me to be kind to everyone. It's taught me to appreciate pretty much appreciate a lot. Acting taught me to be grateful for a lot more things in my life that I didn't realize I just wasn't paying attention to.
Okay.
So acting has done a lot for me. I think that acting has changed, not really changed who I am as a person, but kind of maybe unveiled it a little bit more.
Is it easier for you because of acting to get more empathy to other people? Because you can switch maybe in their roles easier?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the biggest tips that I've ever gotten as an actor is when that you are going to start studying who your character is, start learning your lines and everything, whether it's a play or a show or commercial, you name it. When you're learning who this new character is, to always look at them without judgment. Whether they're the most evil person or the most kind person, they are who they are for a million different reasons. And in the real world, in acting, you get to make those reasons up. In the real world, you don't know what those reasons are. So it's always really important. Like, don't judge anyone. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what their past is. It's very important that we all just kind of help each other. You know, there's no reason to kind of climb on top of one another. Acting and I think just the real world is the same in that way, that if we're constantly helping each other, everything gets raised to a better level.
What wise words for the end. Really? No, but it's true. Sometimes I think when you were doing acting stuff, you learn to see more behind the scenes of people.
Yeah.
And maybe to empathize more with them.
For sure.
Because you can more understand why they are doing something like that. Yeah. Makes sense. So at the end of every episode, I'm asking a 5-question quickies, always the same 5 question. So okay. First one, what's your favorite dish to eat?
Favorite dish. Oof. I'm going to go with something basic.
You cannot say already the schnitzel. We spoke about the schnitzel before we started recording. So schnitzel is on your bucket list.
Yes. I'm going to go with steak and potatoes. Steak and roasted potatoes.
Steak, medium, medium rare.
Medium rare. Medium rare. Ribeye.
Ribeye.
Yeah.
Nice one. Yeah, that's good. What kind of, are you a sweet tooth? Kind of desserts?
I have become a sweet tooth, unfortunately. Yeah. I'm big into like candies. I love Gushers.
What's a gusher?
Okay, so they're like gummy candies, but then they have like a candy juice in the middle. So when you bite down on them, the juice explodes. Yeah. It's so good. That's my kryptonite.
I'm a cookie type. I love
Love cook. Yeah,
cookies.
I won't turn down a cookie either.
So, second one, do you have a comfort movie you love to
Ooh.
watch or you
Comfort
rewatched,
movie.
I don't know, 1,000 times because you loved it
Yeah.
since?
Yeah. It's called Miracle. It's about the 1980 US men's hockey team. It's actually a Disney movie, but it's not animated, and it's a true
Okay.
story. Yeah.
Miracle.
Yeah. So in the 1980s, when hockey teams would go to the Olympics, you weren't allowed to send professional athletes. So the Americans were made up of a bunch of college hockey players. And then we took on the Soviet Union at the time, and they had a team that played year round. They were sponsored by the government. They were the best hockey team in the world. They would come and scrimmage the NHL All-Star team and beat them. And so this is about that Olympics and how these group of college hockey players were able to beat the best hockey team in the world and win gold.
What type of music do you like, Max?
Oof. See, my people look at my iTunes and my music library and they are like,
Shocked or
it's
what?
just everything. It's anything from, crazy techno to, bluegrass music to I think that I have pretty much every genre of music on my phone. And it's just kind of depends on whatever mood I'm in. A
Okay,
lot
what's
of
your favorite carpool karaoke song to sing?
my favorite karaoke song. Okay, let me think about that.
I love to sing 30 Seconds to Mars.
30 Seconds to Mars is great. They're very good. I would say if I was gonna go karaoke, maybe like a simple like Beatles song.
Or Bryan Adams is always useful, Summer of 69.
Yes.
That's also good.
No, but I would say probably something from the Beatles would be my go-to karaoke, just because I probably know the most amount of lyrics from them.
Yeah, Beatles are like ABBA.
Yeah,
ABBA,
right.
everyone is saying, yeah, ABBA, blah, blah, but then everyone knows every text line about their
Exactly.
songs.
Exactly.
If you're hearing Dancing Queen or stuff like that, everyone can sing along.
Exactly. It's great. I mean, and you can say you don't like it, but when you're there
Yeah,
singing with
but
everyone else, you love it.
yeah, that's totally true. When a lot of, my students, I'm always asking, so what is actually a top hit at the students' party? Because it's, and sometimes it's the all-time classical that were played already at my students' party.
Exactly, exactly.
So I what? Still? This song? Yeah, it was my student party song. So, the classic ones, the all-time classic ones. Yeah. So, if I would come to you and say, Max, I haven't watched any verticals yet, which one of yours should I definitely watch?
Ooh, if you haven't watched any verticals yet, I would say probably, I would say I really liked my Three Ungrateful Brothers Come Crawling Back, because I play a good guy. I play the romantic interest. I think I look cool in it. I don't know if other people do.
You think?
they got me in a tight leather jacket. It's
Which
great.
platform was it?
That's on Real Short.
Okay.
And then aside, if you're looking for something that's more like kind of my bread and butter, like an executive assistant, I would say, what was it called? Oh, the Father's Guardian Angel. I think that's on Good Short.
Have you
Or
ever done a werewolf one?
no, they've never gotten cast in a
No,
werewolf.
no beta.
Nothing. Not no
The
beta, no
typical
alpha.
assistant beta? No.
Nah, nothing.
Next point on your bucket list for this year.
Another a werewolf one.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm game. A werewolf one in Germany.
Let's say, I'm not, no, I don't know, no, they haven't shot any werewolf stuff, I think, in Turkey, or I'm not sure if they are ever have ever shot a werewolf one in Europe, to be honest.
I think they shot some vampire ones in Europe, but I don't know if they've ever shot a werewolf one.
And werewolf ones haven't been shot in China also.
Interesting.
Yeah. In China, the Chinese one, you don't see werewolf and vampire stuffs. They are not so cool
They
for
just don't like
that.
werewolves and vampires.
Yeah, vampires are getting less lately.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I haven't seen any or much new shows dropping vampire ones. No,
I
not
don't think
really.
so.
So we spoke a little bit about it, but which genre you want to see new or more in the verticals?
Ooh, I think that anything historical, I think we talked about that a little bit. Anything set in the past, whether that's kind of the early 1900s or way before, in the time of knights and the round table. I think there's so much to be done,
Three
and I think that
Musketeer style.
yes.
Not the
I
Three
think
Brothers, the Three Musketeers.
the Three Musketeers come crawling back. Exactly. No, but I think the ones that are that are shot in these castles, and I just think that there's so much artistic room in doing things that are historical
And the
and
costumes. Holy
so
crap.
beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, yeah.
What about some comedy or some
Yes.
parody or some, as I said, criminal mystery cases?
Yes. I was so me and I think there's so much. There's the thing about these verticals is a lot of times they are unintentionally comedies.
Yeah.
But I think that there is so much room for rom-coms to kind of flourish in this space. And yeah, I think that it's kind of the perfect, in my opinion, romantic comedies are kind of the perfect genre for verticals.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
You can always have the billionaire CEO shit if it's needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
But people
rom-com,
need that
it's always good.
comedic relief and those cute stories, and it's I think there's definitely room for more of those.
Okay, so maybe you should write one.
Yes. A comedy, and what about even a horror? We could do a horror article. Okay, so one idea that we had, I can't remember who I was talking about this, was to do a documentary style vertical, but it's like a horror. So it's like from the behind the view of the crew and the actors, of someone following around the making of a vertical. And then one by one, actors and directors start going missing and dying and all this stuff, and you don't know who it is.
Why are American people always so fancy about horror stuff? I don't get it.
I it was just
Everyone
an
I'm
idea.
asking said, yeah, we need more horror. Yeah, we need more murderer. Yeah, we need more horror. Why?
I haven't seen a horror vertical yet. That was my only reason.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally true.
I
No,
don't
you
think
know,
that
if it's
like
kind of psychological horror,
exact it's like a
I'm
thriller. It's not really
fine.
just like blood and guts. It's
Yeah, if
more kind
it's
of like
just only murdering and blood,
no.
then I can watch it.
No, we're talking psychological thriller. Not a lot of gore or anything like that. Just something that keeps you on your toes constantly.
Yeah, and no
Yeah.
zombie stuff, which
No.
were totally sense-free murdering. And
Yeah, ugh.
no,
Don't need that.
I can't watch that.
No, it's a little too much for me as well.
You know, I'm living alone in a big old house. You know, when my dogs are wandering here through the house, do you know how creepy noises it makes sometimes? And then when you're watching a horror, like someone is breaking in one someone's houses and murdering them, it's not cool.
No, that's not fun.
No. So that's a reason why I don't prefer watching horror stuff.
We'll stick with a historical, vertical, or a romantic comedy. That's what I'll be writing. Or
Yeah.
some sort of historical romantic comedy.
Oh. Yeah, that would be the jackpot.
Yes,
Okay, Max,
that's it.
you know what you have to do.
Yep,
You
I'm gonna
have a
get to work.
mission.
I do.
Next point on your bucket list. How many bucket list points do we have now?
At least three or four, I think we've started.
Only? I think it were more than that.
Could be six or seven.
You have to work on that list.
Yep.
I will meet you again at the end of the year, and then I will ask, okay, Max, let's do a resume. How
Yes,
many points you
I need to. I need someone to hold me accountable for this.
I've all recorded, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry for
It's on
that.
camera. It's on camera. I have to do it now. Exactly.
I can say, oh Max, you told me so many things for your bucket list, and what did you
What
reach
have you
this year?
accomplished?
Yeah, we will have that in mind, and we will check
Yep.
that in a few months, okay?
I'm gonna get to work, I promise.
I'm a woman of my word. I will come back to you. I can tell you that.
I'll be ready.
Okay. And if you
Thank
ever
you.
come here nearby somewhere, you can call me and then we will go schnitzel. For a
Yes.
schnitzel, okay?
Please, please.
I will introduce you to the great food culture here.
That would be amazing.
That's good. Max, I thank you so much for your time and talking to me. It was a pleasure having
Oh,
you.
thank you so much. It
I
was a
wish
pleasure
you
talking to you as well.
a lot of great, fantastic roles. Whatever you wish for, less audition, more roles in that way.
That'd be nice.
And have a great week ahead, or rest week. And thank you for your time. And see you soon. And I will send you the link for this pirate trailer. You have to watch.
Oh, yes, please do. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and taking the time to talk to all these amazing vertical actors. It's really amazing
Oh,
what you do.
it's fun. It's really fun. I love that one, to be honest.
That's awesome.
It's always enlightening me with some new informations, you know? That's good.
Yes.
So thank you, Max, and bye. Hi.
Have a good one. Take care.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.